Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
How much is there to look forward to as a church? So, so good. Hello, everyone. How are you doing today? Hope you've been having a great week so far. Hope you've had a great start to your morning. And how powerful was that moment of worship and that moment of silence in worship as well? You know, something so beautiful and something so necessary. You know, I think for some of us, myself included, maybe like the only moment of silence you've had all week. And sometimes it's necessary to just pull the handbrake up and just allow God to speak deeply into our hearts. So really, really is amazing. You know, welcome to week four, the grand finale of our sermon series, Invitations to Another Kind of Life. You know, it's been an amazing series so far. Week one, Pastor Brian spoke to us about the invitation to love God. Pastor Candace in week two spoke to us about the invitation to love others. Hind last week spoke to us about the invitation to know God. And all the while, you know, we've just been learning about these invitations that God offers us. And all of these messages are available on YouTube if you want to just re-catch up on them or just re-watch them for the first time. I encourage you to do that. All available on YouTube. But today, what we'll be doing and what we'll be looking at is something of a different angle from what we've been doing. Because what we're going to be doing now is asking ourselves a question. On the back end of 3 weeks of three outstanding messages, we're going to ask ourselves the question of, how is it that I can genuinely accept an invitation to another kind of life? How can I genuinely do so in my life? How is it that it can become a reality? So that's the question we'll be addressing today. But before we get going into it, let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be gathered in your house under your name and to be able to receive your word. And we pray, God, that as we hear it, may it just land on fertile soil in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to receive your word well. Help us, Lord, to hear from you, to see you clearly, Lord God, and to really and genuinely believe that you are for us in every step of our lives. In your mighty and powerful name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Cool. So about a couple of years ago, a few of us from the Thrive team went to the Smile Foundation. And the Smile Foundation, for those who may not know, is a non-profit organization that is basically geared up and single-mindedly focused on making sure that kids who have facial abnormalities, kids who have maybe severe burn wounds, can receive the treatment that they need, both physically and medically and psychologically as well, to make sure that they can receive smiles and receive their confidence. You know, they deal with like cleft palates, burn wounds, misshaped heads, all the things. They make sure that essentially the people, that these kids can grow up with confidence and with smiles on their faces. And we went there because as a church, for those of you around, you may remember, as a church, we had raised up enough money for them at our Carols for a Cause service that year in 2021 to make sure that they were able to have funds to support them in the year going ahead. You know, we were able to raise enough money for them to have three surgeries to take place for the following year. Three surgeries. It blows my mind every time because it meant that we helped them to have three, we helped make sure that three kids had smiles that year, three kids had surgeries so that they could walk around with confidence, you know. It was a mind-blowing thing that we were able to do, you know, and I think just in general, the generosity of our church is just mind-blowing. But in that moment, I remember us having a conversation with the Smile Foundation staff. You know, they talk us through and they walked us through the walls, you know. And on the walls, they had these framed pictures of the children that they had provided surgeries, both like before and after type photos. And they showed us photos of the kids and they spoke to us about them and spoke to us about their families as well. Because what they helped us to understand and to see is that any kind of a facial abnormality, any kind of a severe burn or anything like that, doesn't just affect the child, but it affects the family as well, you know. So they helped us to see all of that. And while they were explaining this and talking this through, the very first Smile Foundation patient walked through the doors, a girl by the name of Tandi, you know, she's in her early 20s, and she had like this little smirk that she had on her face, which turned into a beautiful smile. And then in that moment, we're like, ah, that's what you guys do. Okay, that's awesome. You know, and she and Kim, the general manager of the Smile Foundation, started talking us through Tandi's story. And while she was speaking us through her story, she said something which blew my mind halfway through. She said that she was involved in the Smile, she wasn't involved in Smile Foundation at that moment, but actually was involved in the theater, the operating theater on Tandi. And while watching the operation take place, and while being a part of the operation, she thought to herself, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, be a part of this foundation and to take this foundation forward. Meaning that in the middle of this surgery, Kim recognized and Kim realized that she was being invited to another kind of life. She was being invited to more. And she didn't ignore that invitation. She didn't brush it off. But instead, she accepted it and took it on and has now began to live her life with this invitation being a fully fledged part of her life. And under her leadership, the Smile Foundation has seen countless more kids be able to receive smiles. The foundation has seen so many, has tripled in size in terms of its staffing, and has such a grand vision for the future as well. And the whole organization has grown so much because she said yes to that invitation, and because the whole Smile Foundation team also say yes to every invitation that they receive. And that's the power of whenever we receive an invitation that God has to offer us. And that's what we've been learning over the last 3 weeks, is that our God, our loving Father, has so many grand invitations for us to receive more, to receive more of His goodness, more of His love, more of His favor, more of His blessings to us. We have these grand invitations to dream bigger and to live bigger with Him right at the center of it. These are the invitations that we receive so often and every day. And what we see from the story from the Smile Foundation, what we see from Kim's life, is that how are we going to respond to those invitations? Are we going to respond with them with a resounding yes, saying that I don't know what's going to happen on the other side, but I believe that it's something beautiful. I believe there's something extraordinary that God can do, and I'm going to take it on board and begin to live a life where I get to see what happens on the other side of that invitation? Or will we ignore the invitation and miss out on the potential of seeing countless lives changed because of accepting an invitation? And that's why today, at the back end of three incredible messages, three incredible weeks of invitations to another kind of life, I'd love to encourage us, for the few moments that we have together, to live with a yes in your spirit. Live with a yes in your spirit. Now, live with a yes that the Smile Foundation team had, and that has resulted in countless kids having their lives changed and having smiles being added to their faces. Let's live with the yes in our spirit that can allow for our lives to be changed, for our lives to receive the more that God has in store for us. Let's live with a yes in our spirit. And you know, when we live with a yes in our spirit, what we begin to see is this brilliant picture that's being painted out in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. It says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." And what the scripture is helping us to see is that God's promises are always available for us. They're always there. But it's up to us to accept them. It's up to us to be a part of them. It's up to us to say our yes, to say our amen, and attach our lives to His promises. You know, it's as if God's promises are like a party that's already happening. You know, it's like you receive a phone call, like, hey, and then you just hear in the background, hey, come here to like 33rd Street and be a part of it. And you just hear this music in the background, like, oh, okay, cool, I will be there, you know? And when we go there, the party's already happening. God's promises are already happening. We're just stepping into it, you know? And that's what it's like whenever we have a yes in our spirit. You know, Pastor Mark Varughese, he's the senior pastor of Kingdom City Church, he wrote a book called Ready, Fire, Aim. And in this, he explains this scripture, and he has such a brilliant analogy for it. You know, he says in the book that if you had to picture God's promises and our amen like a clap, you know, like a clapping. On the one hand, you've got God's promises, which are there, available, the party that's already going on. You know, the party's already there. You know, those are the God's promises. And the other one, the other hand, is our yes, our amen. Now, The enemy cannot do anything about God's promises. They're already there. It's already happening. God's bigger, God's stronger. He's having control in his world, and his promises are already happening. So there's nothing he can do about that. But what he can do is try to short-circuit our amen, our yes. Yeah. What he can do is try to prevent us from saying amen. So when the clap happens, it's just like this. God's promises are doing their thing, but like all of a sudden, there's like nothing else happening on the other side. But whenever we attach our yes to God's promises, what we begin to see is that there's a loud, resounding shout of significance in our lives, a loud shouting resound of purpose and of commitment and of knowing that God is in control in our lives because we're attaching our promises with our amen and our yes. So that's what happens whenever we begin to have a yes in our spirit. We begin to see that that is a reality. God's promises and our yes begin to align and begin to connect. And another big reason why it's so, so important to live with a yes in our spirit is because whatever God does, whenever we say yes, and whenever we begin to live with a yes in our spirit, we begin to see that the beauty of where God takes us next is on the other side of your next yes. The beauty of where God takes you next in your faith, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your education, in your finances, the beauty of where God takes you next in any area of your life is on the other side of your next yes. I remember during our country's best year ever, 2010, the year the World Cup came here, the last time Bafana made us proud since yesterday. I mean, come on. Come on. No, as Amy was reading that scripture earlier, when the Shunammite woman was like, oh, please, man of God, don't give us such promises. You know, I was like Bafana is doing that to us, like giving us promises that, can you live up to this? Or else our hearts will be shattered. Anyway, during 2010, I'd managed to organize 4 tickets to watch a game in Bloem. I was like, yeah, come on. But the only problem was I didn't have a way to get there. I had no car, had no way of getting it. But I was okay because I had 3 friends who were keen to go with me, so there we were ready. But the night before, all 3 of them pulled out. So meaning that I had 4 tickets on my bedside table and nowhere to go to Bloem. I was depressed when I woke up that next morning. I was like, whatever about the game, whatever about the World Cup, I'm never watching a football game for the rest of my life. You know, that's how I felt in that moment. And then, but I also woke up at the same time to a friend of mine, another friend of mine, sending me a message saying, hey, how's the trip to Bloem going? I explained to her the whole story, like, oh, all pulled out, and now I'm like by myself in the bed, and the tickets are right over here, and I was like all depressed and everything, you know? And then she was quiet for an hour. So I'm like, you're just gonna leave me just marinating in my pain for an hour. And then an hour later, I get a phone call, and she says, meet us at the toll gate in 20 minutes. I'm in for 1 ticket. My cousin and his friend are in for the other 2. Are you still in? And I thought to myself, this is the most bizarre invitation ever. I'm being invited to an event that I have all the tickets for. This doesn't make sense. But either way, I said a quick, yes, I'm on it. Dude, dad, toll gate, I'll explain on the way. No. And all of a sudden, without, like, just as quick as anything, all of a sudden, there we were on a road trip, on the way to Bloem. Amazing road trip, there and back, watched an amazing game and made a lifetime's worth of memories all the while. You know, all because I said yes. All because a phone call came and I didn't decide to just be depressed and said, no, this day's a write-off anyway, dude. And then just like watch the game later on TV and just like caress the TV. I could have been there, you know. Instead, I said yes, you know, and something beautiful and fun was on the other side of that yes. And the same is true in every area of our lives. And the other beautiful thing, an amazing thing, a God-given blessing is on the other side of your next yes. Whenever we say yes to whatever God has in store for us in our marriages, what we begin to see is that when we say yes to following Jesus' principles of how it is that we can handle our relationships, we begin to see that yes that we say results in a beautiful marriage. Just that's how His promises work. Whenever we decide to step out and say yes with our finances and to be generous and to steward them well, and whenever we decide to take Jesus' word seriously with our finances, what we begin to see is that that we're stepping into the beautiful thing that God has on the other side of it, which will result to our finances being blessed, because we'll be financially, be in financial peace, and we'll be so much better for it. And whenever we decide that that we want to step into purpose and into a significance in what God is doing in the local church or what God is doing in our community, by us deciding to use our skills and our talents and saying, yes, I'll step up and I'll serve in that area. I'll step up and I'll lead in that area. Whenever we begin to do that, we begin to see that there's something beautiful on the other side of that. The beautiful thing that God wants to do in our lives is on the other side of us just saying yes. And when we begin to see that, we begin to see something extraordinary and amazing in our lives. Now, a quick 5-second YouTube ad break. You know, the kind of ad breaks that you can't skip. Like, oh, for goodness sake, I'm stuck here. You're stuck here. Okay, so now, what we're speaking about here is having a yes in our spirits. What we're not speaking about is being a yes man or a yes woman. Because being a yes person actually causes chaos in a community. Who here knows that if you've got a colleague that's like, yes, yeah, I'm there for it. Yeah. Like, yes, every idea. Yes. Yeah, we should run the company to the ground. Yes. No. Who here knows that when you have a yes person in your midst, it causes chaos and causes doom. So we're not speaking about that. So please don't think that when we're speaking about having a yes in our spirit. Because a yes in our spirit is others-focused. It's God-centered. It's us saying, how can I serve those around me? How can I live out God's purposes in my life? Whereas a yes person is somebody who's more like self-involved, is self-seeking, wants to climb a ladder, you know, and wants to benefit themselves. But when we have a yes in our spirit, it's something so, so different. You know, a former Indian general, a man by the name of Sam Manningshaw, he said this: a yes man is a dangerous man. He is a menace. He will go very far. He can become a minister, a secretary, a field marshal, but he can never become a leader nor be respected. He will be used by his superiors, disliked by his colleagues, and despised by subordinates. So discard the yes man. You know, so we're not speaking about being a yes man or a yes woman. We're speaking about something so much grander and so much more beautiful, having a yes in our spirit, having 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 as our guideline again. You know, God's promises, they're there, they've already been made, and all it needs is our yes and amen to be attached to it so that it can have a resounding sound for God's glory. So all we want is for God's glory to be magnified in our lives and not for ourselves to just keep climbing up a social ladder. So it's so important for us to recognize that we're not speaking about being a yes man or a yes woman, but we're speaking about being and having a yes in our spirits. Got the difference?
Yeah.
Ad break over. Cool. Now, we have to get to the point where we have to ask ourselves, how do I practically do that? How do I practically live with a yes in my spirit? How do I practically, in my busy everyday life at work, at school, how can I just say like yes? Like I can't live like that. I can't live with a yes everywhere. So how do we practically do this and not like run ourselves to the ground? And the answer comes from, I think, a very powerful account that we see in Scripture. And it's in Luke chapter 5, the account when Peter starts getting invited by Jesus to become a disciple and to become a follower of Jesus. Now, a bit of context for the Scripture, you know, Jesus has just entered into the scene, you know, and now this trending rabbi who everyone wants to see, you know, all of a sudden he's about to give a big and grand message to the rest of the people who are there, but they're all pressing on him on the shore, you know. So he decides, you know what? I need Peter's help to get pushed out into the water, have better acoustics, and be able to speak to everyone clearer and better. And that's where we get the story from, and that's where we pick up the story. So let's read it from Luke 5 verses 1 to 11. It tells us this: one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore on the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed 2 empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push him out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in from the other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "O Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Such an amazing account. I wonder about that fish and who picked up that fish afterwards and if it still stinks. That's how my brain wanders. But from this passage, we see two principles and how it is that we can live with a yes in our spirits. Two principles that can really help us to practically put this on board. And the first principle is this: pay attention to the invitation. Pay attention to the invitation. That's what Peter did. Peter had to pay attention to the invitation. In fact, there were four invitations that Jesus made to Peter, and he had to pay attention to each of them. The first one was the invitation to push out the boat into the water. Second one was to push it out into deeper water. Third one was to let down the nets. And the fourth one was to become a disciple. Each of these invitations, Peter had to pay attention to, close attention to, because if he had missed one, the life and the beautiful life that he went on to live wouldn't have happened. He had to really pay attention to each of those invitations. So he had to pay attention to the invitation and say yes to the invitation to push out his boat, which led to the invitation to push out it in deeper water, which led to the invitation of putting down his nets deeper, which led to the invitation of him becoming a disciple. And on the other side of that was a beautiful life of being the leader of the early church. Every single invitation, one led to the other. And it was such an amazing life that he lived because he paid attention, he focused, he zoned in on each invitation that was being made of him. He didn't ignore them, he didn't brush it off. It wasn't like, what do you know? You're a teacher. Like, I'm a fisherman. What were you before that? A carpenter. Again, I'm a fisherman. I've been at this all night, so please, you know. He didn't do that. Instead, he thought, okay, this guy knows something deeper. This guy knows something more. Let me pay attention to it. And he lived that way and continued to live that way. And by paying attention to every invitation, he saw that the beautiful things that God had in store for him were on the other side of every time he said yes. And the same is true for us. What are the invitations that we need to start paying attention to? What are the promises that God is making in our lives, the invitations he's making in our lives that we need to just say our yes to so we can start to see, like Peter, that there's something grand and amazing that he has in store for us? There are a few simple ones, a few simple invitations that we can pay attention to that Jesus is already making that over and above the more nuanced and specific ones that he's probably speaking deeper in your heart. Like the invitation to spend more quality time with your kids or your spouse. You know, quality time, whether it be like a picnic or holiday out or just a games night, you know, with there are no phones anywhere, but just quality time together as family. Maybe it's an invitation to pay attention and be present to the conversation that you're having with somebody in your life. You know, instead of allowing your brain to wander off and to wonder about the million other things that could be happening, but actually just paying attention to what they're saying and watching what could happen in that moment. Could be the invitation to just be aware and to recognize the beauty that's happening all around you. You know, maybe it's like a sunset or just reading a good book or just enjoying a good meal and just knowing that any one of these little blessings are actually an invitation to God to just thank him more, you know, and just be aware that these are good gifts that were given by him. Could be an invitation to get to know him deeper, you know, to read his word and to discover that the creator of the universe wants to be your personal friend as well. You know, it could be the invitation to be a part of a serving team, knowing that when you begin to serve in God's house, you're using your skills so that you can be involved right at the heartbeat of what God is doing in his local church. Not on the outskirts anymore, but you're right at the center of what he's doing. The invitation to lead at a higher capacity so that, like Kim at the Smile Foundation, you can realize that other people can benefit from what you bring to the table. All these are little invitations that we can pay attention to in our lives, that when we begin to pay attention to them, we begin to see that there's a beautiful life on the other side of them. So can I encourage us? whatever invitation that God has is making of you and is asking you, pay attention to it, big or small. You know, Peter had to pay attention to the big and the small. You know, he had the first invitation was him pushing out his boat. The last invitation was him becoming a disciple. If he doesn't do this, this doesn't happen. And the same is true for us. Just take the little small steps. Make the little small yeses. And when we pay attention to those, we can see that God can do something grand, something beautiful on the other side of every single yes we make. And I think what our culture can make us a bit weary of is that, sure, too many yeses can lead to like a life of being overwhelmed, a life of being of like having so much like coming at us, and a life where so much, you know, I have to do so much. Where actually, if I live in convenience, I live in comfort, like I'll be okay. So if somebody makes an invitation of me, I'm just going to say no straight away, so I can just live in comfort and live in peace. But actually, what we see from especially in the New Testament, all of God's people just kept saying yes after yes after yes. And their lives didn't feel full or overwhelmed, but instead their lives were lives of purpose and of a great and beautiful, extraordinary dreams of what God has in store for them. All because they saw and that they believed that I can just say yes to what God is saying to me and something extraordinary will come off in the back end of that. And again, the same is true for us. So let's live with a yes in our spirit, knowing that with every time we pay attention to an invitation, we're not going to say an immediate no, but instead we're just going to accept and pay attention and say, okay, I wonder what God has in store on the other side. So instead of immediately saying no, I'm going to immediately say, what if? What if I say yes, God will do something amazing? What if I come to Encounter Night tonight? I wonder what God is going to do in my life. What if I do move forward in the second service or online on Tuesday? I wonder what God's going to do. What if I go to a life group on the 14th of February and just say to my loved ones that, okay, like, can't afford Valentine's Day this year, so I'm just going to go to life group and say, it's in the week of. What if I come to every first Sunday, every single month? What if I come to Hope Ladies? What if I come to Forge Men? What if I come to every single Sunday service for this year? What if? What if I pay attention to every single invitation that is made offered to me? And with every one of those yeses, God can do something beautiful and extraordinary in our lives. So can I encourage us? God's promises in our lives are there. Let's just say our yeses to that and watch what God is able to do in and through our lives. And the second invitation, or the second principle that we see from the scripture that can help us to live with the yes in our spirit is to live and to pay attention to trustworthy voices. Pay attention to trustworthy voices. Now, remember again in the scripture, Peter, James, John, fishermen, experienced fishermen. They do this for a living. They are seasoned, you know. They took over their father's businesses. Like they know what they're doing, you know. And they had a night where they've had no catches at all. You know, and they think to themselves, oh, Peter, he's like, oh, for goodness sake, now this rabbi teacher is asking me to push my boat out into deeper water. Like, why must I do that? Lord, this hasn't been done. This doesn't work. I've had other days before where I've gone back and forth and it just doesn't work. So please, can I just go home? Please. But instead, what he does is that he pays attention to the trustworthy voice. He thinks to himself, I've just sat in the boat next to this guy for the last, I don't know how long Jesus preaches. 45 minutes, give and take, you know? I just sat in the boat for the last 45 minutes with this guy, and he's just been, like, spitting truth bombs. You know? He's like, oh, my word. I'm, like, taking notes, like, off the notes. Now, he's thinking to himself, I know this guy as master already. This guy's a trustworthy voice. So that's what he says. If you say so, let's go out again, you know? He paid attention to the trustworthy voice, and because he did, he had a massive and a huge catch on the back end of that. And then again, fast forward a little bit, James and John, they're still out on the shore cleaning their nets, just about to get home, asking them, texting their mom, like, what's for breakfast? Oh, again, please, mom. No, while they're busy doing this, they're hearing their names being shouted out in the distance on the shore. I'm not sure if they could see Peter, but what they definitely could hear was their names being called out in the distance. James, John, Zebedee's. Come here. And like, what? Like, why? But instead of like shouting back, What for? Why? We're done. No. Mom made so... Instead of doing that, what they decided to do was to trust the trustworthy voice. They knew Peter. Peter was their friend. Peter was their guy. So they thought, okay, put the nets back in. Let's go out into the water again. And because they did, they too began to be a part of the catch, but also their ministries began too that day. So because they were a part of saying yes after yes to a trustworthy voice, all three of them became a part of Jesus' inner circle. All three of them saw Jesus transfigured in the Mount of Transfiguration a bit later in the Gospels. All three of them began to benefit from all that Jesus had to offer them, basically, because all three of them decided to say yes to trustworthy voices. And the same can be true in our lives. We can just pay attention, when we start to pay attention to trustworthy voices in our lives, you know, we begin to see that, okay, I can say yes to the voice. And if I say yes to the voice, something extraordinary can happen, one thing after another. You know, I know when it comes to trustworthy voices, the first and most obvious voice to pay attention to, trustworthy voice to pay attention to, is God's voice. God's voice through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit's promptings, you know, prompting us on when, like, it's like the deep knowing in our lives of, okay, I know that this is the right thing to say right now. This is the right action to take right now. This is the right risk to make right now. I just know it right now. You know, that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Oftentimes, most often, in fact, the primary way he speaks to us is through his word. You know, so when we see, okay, that's okay, let me apply this scripture in my life. That's God speaking to us. But another way that God speaks to us is through other people. Through other people in our lives, people that we know, people that we trust, people that we know who've got a track record of relationship in our lives, but also people who have got a track record in helping us to, in themselves following Jesus a little bit deeper and knowing that this is who Jesus is in their lives, you know. When we pay attention to those voices, we begin to see that, okay, like I can do one or two things more, you know. I know for myself personally, like I've always been terrified to say yes to an invitation whenever it's offered, to this day. Like, I'm just better at hiding it now. Like, sure. But I remember in 2004, being in grade 8, and a youth leader at the time, a guy by the name of Clark Bass, giving the invitation to follow Jesus, and I said yes. I remember in 2007, another youth leader at our school, a guy by the name of Travis Chaplin, giving me the invitation to join the youth team, and I said yes. I remember in 2009, Carmen Ogle giving me the invitation here at Thrive to be her assistant life group leader, and I said yes. In 2010, Pastor Steve gave me the invitation to lead a life group, and I said yes. And in 2011, Pastor Kathy and Pastor Candace gave me the invitation to join the media team, and I said yes. But later on that year, Nancy Green, who used to be at the church, gave me the invitation to be join the car park team, join the prayer team, and join the door greeters team, all in the same year. I said yes. You know, and I remember Pastor Brian in 2015 asking Amy and I to lead youth, and we said yes. And I remember in 2016, Pastor Brian invited me to be a part of the Thrive team, Thrive staff team, and I said yes. And now I mention all of these, not to mention all the various areas I served, but I mention all of this because of all the trustworthy voices along the way, who, even though I was terrified and saying, gosh, I can't do that, there was a trustworthy voice saying, just come. And when we start trusting trustworthy voices, no matter what the ask is, it becomes more practical to do. There becomes less ums and ahs about it. It's more like, okay, I trust the voice. I trust the person who's got a track record relationally. I trust the person who's following Jesus deeply and who knows and has my best interest at heart. And when we begin to trust the trustworthy voice, even though we may not be certain about the invitation, we know that we can take the leap of faith, and we know that it's from God, and we know that something beautiful will be on the other side of that. So can I encourage us to be the types of people who follow trustworthy voices? Whether it's your life group leader, our serve team leader, a parent, a boss that isn't shady, a move forward facilitator, life group leader, list goes on of who can be the trustworthy voices in our lives. Can I encourage us to follow their voices, follow what they have to say? Hebrews 13 verse 17 tells us, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. In other words, they have a best interest in your heart. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for this would be of no advantage to you. Now, I'm not saying that whenever you say no to an invitation, you're groaning. That's not what I'm saying. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we can be like, no. That's not what I'm saying right now. But what I am saying is that when a trustworthy voice makes an ask of us, and we'd be quicker to say no instead of quicker to say yes, it would be of no advantage to us. We need trustworthy voices in our lives so that we can have that advantage in our lives. It's an advantage to have a trustworthy voice in our lives. It's an advantage to have somebody who has your best interest at heart and saying, come, calling out in the water, say, come here, something massive, something awesome. Something beautiful is on the back end, on the other side of that. To close, I heard the story the other day of a guy by the name of Bob Goff. He's an author, philanthropist, a great guy. he's a lawyer, like so many things, human rights activist, there's so much on the ground. One day he was in Washington on business with a few friends and with a few people in his world. And him and his one friend in particular went all the way and saw that at 12 o'clock at midnight, near the Library of Congress, that there was this huge barricade that was there. Cars parked in like weirdly and awkwardly. And they looked around and they saw that actually what was happening was that they were filming a scene of National Treasure 2, the Nicolas Cage movie. They were like, what? So what they decided to do was quickly get changed, look like the crew, and decided to like walk like they were part of the crew. When they were asked for passes, like, yeah, I've got, and they just like try to do like act the part and live the part, And they managed to dodge a few cars, dodge a few security guards, jumped a few fences, and all of a sudden they were right in the middle of the Library of Congress watching the scene being filmed and being set out. And they were like, what? This is amazing. We weren't even invited to this, and yet this is like the best thing ever. Now, all of a sudden, they had to find their way out and try to find a way to exit this and to like not seem like dodgy or anything. And then as they turned the corner, Nicolas Cage and Diane Kruger both turned the corner, looked at them, went past, and their entourage went past with them. So they thought, join the entourage. And all of a sudden, they walked along with them. And that was their adventure. And he thought to himself, this is the best thing ever. But I wasn't invited to it. And he says this, reflecting on this whole moment. He writes this: there are a lot of things I don't get invited to. I've never been invited to the Oscars or Paul McCartney's birthday party or to a space shuttle launch. I'm waiting for my invitation to National Treasure 3. If I got an invitation to any of those, I'd definitely go. There's no feeling like feeling of being included. There's only one invitation. It will kill me to refuse. Yet I'm tempted to turn it down all the time. I get the invitation every day when I wake up to actually live a complete life of engagement. A life where I get to put love into action. A life where it's an invitation to actually live, to be fully participating in the amazing life that God has to offer me one more day. Nobody turns down an invitation to the White House, but I've seen plenty of people turn down an invitation to fully live. Can I encourage us not to be a people who turn down the invitation to fully live? Can I encourage us to be the people who realize that when we have a yes in our spirit, we're actually saying yes to being fully alive every single day, saying yes to what Jesus has to offer us, saying yes to the more that God has in store for us. Can encourage us to be those types of people who live with a yes in our spirit, who pay attention to every invitation, who say, what if, and then yes, and not, no, that's inconveniencing. The kind of people who pay attention and to every trustworthy voice in our lives and say, if you're calling, then I'll follow. And watch what God has in store for us on the back end of that as we're fully alive. Let's pray. For some of us here, this may be the first time you've been made aware. And the first time you've actually connected the dots that being fully alive means actually living a life with and for Jesus. From the start of the service, we've been unpacking this, where Jesus has the invitation of saying, follow me. That's the invitation to more. That's the first step. That's the grand entrance into an extraordinary life where God is at the center, where Jesus is doing amazing work as our Lord and our Savior and as our friend.
And can I encourage you, if you want to live with a yes in your spirit, accept this invitation first. Accept the promise of having Jesus as your Lord, Savior, and friend, which is already available, already here for it, and connect it with your yes. Connect it with your yes today, and watch what God has in store for you on the other side of that. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to count to three, and you can use it as a moment to just slip up your hand. That could just be your way of saying yes. Your simple raising of hand. Once I've acknowledged it, you can put your hand down. But then, with all of our eyes closed and all of our heads bowed, it'll only be me who sees what's happening. You'll know that I'm saying yes to follow Jesus. I'm saying yes to an invitation to receiving more. I'm saying yes to live with a yes in my spirit. So if that's you, at the count of three, just raise your hand and I'll acknowledge it and just you may put it down afterwards. 1, 2, 3. If you want the invitation to live with a yes in your spirit, thank you. Thank you. I see your hands on the side bank. I see your hands in the balcony as well. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand in the middle bank as well. Thank you. I see your hand in the front. Thank you. I see your hand towards the back as well. Thank you. I see your hand up top. Thank you. I see your hands on the side bank as well. Thank you. Anyone else? Last call. Thank you. I see your hand in the back as well. The balcony. Last call. Accepting Jesus' invitation. Jesus' promise for more. Attaching it with your yes. One last call to accept this invitation. If that's you, you can just slip up your hand. Awesome. Thank you. See your hand. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and you can just allow it to be the language of your heart right now. And just agree with it in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you so, so much for dying for me, for living for me, for being my Lord and my Savior, my rock. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to live for you. Help me to live with you at the center. Please forgive me for my sins. Forgive me of where I went wrong. I repent of them right now as I decide to follow and live for you. Help me, Holy Spirit, to live with Jesus at my center, now and forever. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.